verses 8 through 14, and Colossians 3:15. Let's read it together. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior was being born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. May the Lord bless his word. One ordinary day when the shepherds were taking care of their flock by night, and they just were going about their business, all of a sudden, an angel from God appears to them. Now, can you imagine? Can you put yourself there for a minute? You're going about your business, maybe baking a ham, or cleaning the house, fixing your car, and all of a sudden, this angel appears to you. The Bible says, depending on the version you read, that they were trembling, they were terrified. In today's version, it would be they were in shock. And the angel says, "You know, calm down, chill. It's going to be all right. I am bringing you significant good news. The Messiah that you have been waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the one that has been prophesied in many of the Old Testament books, has been born." Now, we're talking about the King of Kings. This significant news should have been probably in our mind, in our carnal mind, we would have thought they should have gone to the president, to the king, to the Roman emperor to tell this good news. Instead, God chose to reveal it to the simple of heart, the shepherds, as they were going about their business. And he says that he was coming from heaven to bring peace on earth among those whom he favors. Peace? If I would have been one of those shepherds, I would have thought, peace? Are you for real? How could peace take place under the rule of Caesar Augustus? How can peace take place today in a war-weary world? This morning I heard the news of turmoil over there in the Middle East, over our president announcing that Jerusalem now is the new capital of Israel. Peace? The dictionary defines the word peace as a state of tranquility, quietness, security. The Hebrew word, you probably know what that is, right? Anybody knows? Boy, you're so bright. It implies friendliness, rest, security, completeness. Nothing broken, nothing missing. And the Greek word, remember the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Koine Greek. The Greek word is Irene, Irene. And this translates, or it means to bind, to unite. Now, if we put all these definitions together, we have tranquility, rest, completeness, nothing broken, nothing missing, friendship, agreement, unity. However, peace is a stranger to many today, including many in our churches. Ours still is a world of political, economic, and social turmoil. The airwaves are full of divisive and angry words 24/7. It doesn't matter what channel we turn on. It doesn't matter what political party we belong. It's still there. Last month, when our cohort visited Ireland, we heard about the 30 years of conflict in Northern Ireland. And we met with both sides, the loyalists and the Republicans. And we listened, we heard their stories, and we cried with them. And one of the panelists said something very profound. He said, "The violence of the tongue is as damaging as the violence of the gun. One polishes the bullet, and the other one pulls the trigger." My brothers and sisters and friends, let's use our words to bring peace, to edify others, rather than to promote violence. We need to search our hearts. We can't walk into any circumstance. And a lot of times, especially during this season, most of the circumstances we walk in, there's pressure and turmoil and stress. And you and I have been called to be peacemakers. You and I have the power to continue to add more fire into that situation. Or to say, peace. Let us sit down and listen to one another. But we first need to know that peace. On the other hand, you and I can just stand and choose not to get involved and allow all the division and all the conflicts to continue to take place in our homes. It's happening in our homes. I hear the way some of these parents speak to their children, even the Christian ones. And I tremble inside. We might look, really pretty Sunday morning, but inside, we're dying. And our homes are falling apart because we allow the conflict to continue. And our churches are falling apart because everybody has something to say. Everybody has an opinion. They're like belly buttons. We all have it. We don't even know why. And yes, want to listen to those opinions. But again, let's use our words to edify and to bring life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to hold people accountable. That is not what I'm talking about. See, there seems to be one word that describes the mood of the people all over the world today. And that word is fear. As I said, it seems as though every day the newspaper headlines, if you still read the newspaper, or the internet or television, continues to inform us of some threat or some violence that is about to plunge us into chaos. Yet the angel said, peace to all people. That first Christmas message came as a promise from God over 2,000 years later. That promise of peace still stands. The peace that Jesus came to bring us was not for one nation or just one race, but for all the people in the world. Even today, the question is still being asked, where does peace begin? My friends, it begins with Jesus. It begins when we ask him to come into our hearts as Lord and Savior. He comes in as our Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. And he fills our hearts with the peace that passes all understanding. We cannot explain it. We can only experience it. When all odds are against us, when fear and anxiety wants to take over our lives, telling us that there's no way out, that there's no way we can make it through, in the midst of a seemingly hopeless situation, if we call on Jesus, he will come in and bring that peace that passes all understanding. We will hear him say, peace, be still. That's why in Colossians, as we read this morning, 3:15, we are told to let that peace of Christ rule our hearts. There's a question for us to answer. Not in a loud voice, but to yourself. What is truly ruling my heart today? Who or what rules my heart? In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10, we are reminded that we are in a covenant of peace with him. And in the Gospels, we read every time Jesus greeted people, he would say to them, peace. And it wasn't just an ordinary greeting. By saying that, he was able to impart or to deposit into people's hearts the peace that he came to bring us. There's another question that people ask. Can I be a Christian and still not have peace? I believe so. Because really, there are some conditions in order to experience this peace. One is found in John 15. We must abide in him constantly. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you. And he also says, apart from me, that same chapter, you will be able to do nothing, have nothing. And the other component is trust. And when we trust, when we surrender, we release our CNO. You know what CNO is? We all have it. Control and ownership. Many of us think that we can control everything and everybody. Our businesses, our home, our children, our spouses. Let me know the day you succeed. We are reminded in Isaiah 26 that he will keep in perfect peace those whose mind stayed on him. Surrender, yield, trust. And the third component is obedience. Constantly planting the seed of peace and making peace. Rather than holding on to others as prisoners in our hearts, those who have hurt us. My beloved brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to release them. Do not get stuck in the pain. It is not worth it. I've known people it's like you don't see them anymore. All you see is poison. Because of the years that they have been holding on to the person or persons who hurt them. It's like they have a tablet where they keep a record. And the saddest thing is that they're sometimes even married to this person. It's like a vicious cycle, a tit for a tat, continuously. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. Release. Be free today. Sometimes they're holding captive someone that is already dead. It was mom or it was dad or a sister or a brother, a sibling. And they'll tell me, but you don't know what they did to me. And I said, you're right, I don't know. But he knows. And he calls us to forgive. Now, I know the world says you need to forgive and forget. That's not what the Bible says. We forgive. We ask Jesus to help us. Forgiveness is a process that we cannot do on our own. We say, Lord, help me. And we release them to them. You see, feelings follow actions. And the way I feel affects what I think and what I do. It all goes together. That's why we must release. Release them to Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're going to be reconciled to that person. It means that you are being set free. That you and I are practicing obedience. The Bible says in James, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. I read a story that took place near the end of World War II. 7 Italian prisoners of war were chosen to help decorate a church's brick wall. And at the beginning, the prisoners didn't want to do it. They didn't want to help their captors. But then they agreed under the condition that their efforts would be considered as a contribution towards Christian brotherhood and understanding. But as they worked on their paintings and their wood carving of the Last Supper, one of the POWs later on said, and I quote, he said, "All of a sudden, a stream of good feelings began almost at once to flow among us. No one spoke of the war or the past, because we were here for a work of love and peace." Just like these POWs, you and I are here for a work of love and peace. Where do we begin? By examining our hearts, truly finding out who or what is ruling our hearts. And then we follow by opening our hearts and receiving the gift of peace that the Prince of Peace came to bring us. And then we put it into action. We might write a note to someone we know is hurting or lonely, or use our resources to meet the needs of someone around us or far from us. Use our words to build bridges rather than to build walls. Pray and ask the Lord to show us where we could be peacemakers. Because you and I have been called to be peacemakers right where we're at. It begins with us. Some of us are so fragmented that at times people don't even know who they're gonna get, the mean individual or the happy one, because there's so much pain. And we cannot give what we don't have. If we don't have that peace that passes all understanding in our hearts, we will not be able to give it to others. Yet the angel said, "Peace to all people." And then Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Let us pray. Father God, thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, to come into a broken world, a messed up world, to bring redemption and forgiveness. We pray that you will make us today instrument of your peace. And now we pray, Lord Jesus, that your peace that passes all understanding will penetrate our hearts right now. Deposit that peace in us, O Emmanuel. And may we go out these doors ready to share the good news with others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.